one.
So let's call it at 5:34. Is that what you had?
Yeah.
Okay. Call to order. The second item is approval of May 31st, 2022 board agenda. I will move to approve.
Second. Carla.
We have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? I'm going for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yep.
Christy?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with three roll call votes.
Any public comment?
Nothing from San Bernardino, and I'm assuming not from El Centro, but Bill's not here.
I'm assuming not either.
We haven't heard anything, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that brings us right to the closed session, item number four on the agenda. So Doreen, you wanna take it away?
We will officially go into closed session at 5:35 and we will stop recording, which I think he already has. Thank you, Joseph. Oh, there's Mr. Anderson. So we're officially going closing closed session, going back into open session at 5:46. And then we just need to announce publicly if any actions were taken in closed session.
So we announce publicly that no actions were taken in closed session.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, do you want to go ahead with the open session agenda items?
Sure. I will roll. I didn't see the other board members join. I'm just making sure, right? None? No. Okay, good. Restalder, three. Do I have an approval of our May 24, 2022 minutes?
So move.
Carla, do I have
second?
Christy, right?
Yep.
I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going for the roll call. Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with three roll call votes. Moving now into our approval of a preliminary budget for San Bernardino 2022 to 2023. So board members, I call it again preliminary because once the May revise is finally approved or based on the May revise, we'll go ahead and present a revised budget based on the information we find out of there. As I spoke, we are budgeting very conservatively around 175 students. We're going very conservative with our ADA just because we do not know where this next year is going to take us. So again, a very conservative approach. Revenues include the proposed conservative 5.5% COLA versus the latest May revise ones. Again, substantial reduction in federal revenue because as of the time of development, we're not getting additional ESSER funds or any of those additional stimulus funds. It does include the one-time funding for the Universal Transition Planning Grant, as well as the Extended Learning Opportunities Grant in the state funding. We are planning on having some additional money in our after-school care program based on some rollover from this year. So that's primarily the revenue piece. All again, very conservative, very minimal changes, I think, to expenses, some slight staffing changes, some slight reductions in books and supplies, some slight reductions in services and operating. Ultimately, this budget does present close to a 7% reserve, which I know our authorizer will be very pleased with. They've had multiple questions around historically because we have not been able to hit their required 5% reserve. So I think that this will bode well for them. Any questions on the budget plan And Shannon, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered everything. I do want the board to know that Doreen worked very, very hard on this. And there were some back and forth with her and I. And it does hold true to the mission and the charter of the school.
And we were really focused on making sure we demonstrated we had our 5% reserve yes. to the district.
Well, thank you for the work on that.
Yeah.
It will change, knock on wood. It's only good for now until we until Mr. Governor approves his may revise or doesn't approve it, however that falls out. So if there are no questions, I will ask for a motion to approve the budget going into next year.
I'll move to approve the budget.
Christy, do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie.
Dixie, I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask for the vote. Christy?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. The next topic is approval of our Southwest Management Service Fees, board members. So I will share with you, historically, it has always been a percentage of the LCFF revenue. A couple years ago, that percentage was around 15%. As of last year, we were able to negotiate it down to 5%. So this represents a slight increase from last year just because our LCFF revenue increased a bit. So it's about $6,400 increase from last year. So what we're proposing for our Southwest management fee is a total of $99,780 for Wellington San Bernardino. That includes, again, all the insurance brokerage, the management of the health benefits, the management of the insurance package, the management of the risk associated fees, all of the banking services, again, the facility management and lease management, because many of our leases are still in Volunteers of America Southwest name. And then lastly, all the human resource management, all the hiring, all the, the leave notices, the benefits negotiation, all of the human personnel, touch points is included in all of that. So with that, I present to you the management fees for Southwest for San Bernardino, July 2022 to June 2023.
I think I did some quick math. I think it went up by about 6% overall. If you said it was 6,000 something more, and considering how most costs have gone up over the last year or so, that's not too bad. I'm comfortable with an increase of 6-ish%.
It was directly tied to that LCFF revenue. Hmm. And I think over the course of the last, I want to say, couple decades, more likely, we've really worked on negotiating that amount.
I don't have any questions. Dixie or Carla, do you have any questions?
Nope.
What is the lease management doing?
So they go ahead and they manage all of the leases. If there's any additional facility issues, they step in and manage that. They also do any lease negotiations on behalf of the agencies.
Okay. Green, do you think that's ever a time that we can take control of that? Because when you think about it, when I think about our lease and the management and everything that has to be done, it's easier to be taken care of in the valley than outside of the valley.
So I would share, Bill, your lease, I think, is up 2025. I would share that that's probably the time, like we're coming into 2023. I'd start looking at it in 2024. Shannon, yours is a little bit longer. I think yours is in the, 2030. So that would that's be the right time to look yeah at that, only because we entered that building later.
Doreen, am I correct that $99,780, that's divided among the two schools? That's for CEDC as a whole, correct?
No, that is just for San Bernardino.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I should have seen that. That was up top.
That's okay.
Yeah. A lot of money.
At the end of the day, I still think it's cheaper than if we had employees performing this work, because a human resources manager, that would eat up most of that money right there between salary and benefits. And then you add on the insurance brokerage and the banking services and the facility and lease. And I think we're getting a deal.
Now.
As of right now.
Now.
No, but not I see sorry what you're saying. Yeah, it's a not lot to you. It's a lot cheaper to contract that out than to hire an employee to cover it. I agree with you there, especially for the volume and quality of service that would afford us.
Not prior years. We'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Miss Doreen.
We worked hard, though. We worked did hard.
Well, I don't know about we, but you worked hard to get this fixed.
Well, I had a little bit of support, so yeah. Sometimes transitions help a little bit.
Silver lining.
So if there are no additional questions, I will, if I may, have a motion to approve the management services fee.
Move to approve.
Carla, do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie.
I have a first and I have a second. Any additional discussion?
No.
Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Moving to approval of our revised substitute rate increase. And I know this one, Shannon and Bill and I spoke a lot about. It really impacted us, I think, this year. I'm thinking that it will impact us going into next year. So board members, I brought it up at the last meeting a bit. We did a search to determine how much, what was kind of the going price for substitutes as we go into this time of, say, very restricted staffing, much more, there's more demand than supply. I think substitutes, even with the pandemic, became more and more of an essential value. Ballington Academy's current one is $130 a day. It has not been increased for quite some time. Speaking of increasing costs, so that is why we're proposing to increase it to $170 a day. I have on here some of the rates for San Bernardino and Imperial. Imperial is significantly higher, as you can see, than even San Bernardino and some of the districts. At the same time, after discussion, we thought that $170 would be a good rate. And then even more discussion, we went into even perhaps a half day rate for $85. So So we are proposing to increase Ballington substitute rate to 170 a day. And now that would not be just for this year as El Centro's was, but going forward.
What is a half day?
$85.
No, I mean, what how long is a half day?
I would say about what
I mean, how do you determine a half day versus a full day?
Would 8:30?
4 hours. It'd be four hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you basically
it would actually be about 3.5 because when there's a sub, it's usually about 7 hours for a full day, maybe 7 hours, 15 minutes.
Plus a break, yeah, lunch.
Yeah, so I would say 3.5 hours or less.
Like 8 to 11:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to approve if there's no other comments.
Thank you, Carla. I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Christy, I have a first and I have a second. Any more discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Moving on to our approval of our local, our LCAP for 2022 to 2023. Board members, it's an intense, long document. I'm sure you guys have memorized it all and are ready, but I will walk you through it. That is why last board meeting, I tried to just give you our priorities because throughout the document, honestly, that was the resonating theme, is really addressing academic achievement, being sensitive to the behavioral needs of the students, and really increasing our parent engagement, which has been a challenge with the pandemic, just been an extreme challenge. So the first part is the parent budget overview, and this is specifically for parents. It just provides an overview of our current funding and what we have spent our funding on. The second big piece, honestly, is the actual LCAP, and it's a CDE template, and I want to say it goes pages and pages and pages, but it's ultimately a CDE template that just asks you to speak to what you spent on current year. What were your goals, how you were doing with your goals, and then rolling those up into taking you into the next school year, identifying your goals and really some of your budget priorities with that. And then the last piece is what we have to submit for the federal government, because we receive federal dollars. They shared that the LCAP is an acceptable version. We don't need to do a whole new plan, but there's some elements of the LCAP that are not included in their plan. So we've got to use their revised addendum template to address all of their needs, that all the regulations that are in their plan. So that's ultimately the three parts of what you'll have before you. You'll have the LCFF budget overview for parents, and that will be posted on our website. You'll have our actual LCAP, which shows all of our goals and objectives, and then the LCAP supplemental, which is primarily for the federal government. Part of the LCAP process is we go ahead and we do multiple surveys throughout the year, but we do one that culminates in a very large survey, I want to say, of staffing, students, and parents. So with that, we have shared some of our results from the staff as well as our parents. So before I ask for an approval on the LCAP, I'll turn it over to Shannon to just share a little bit with you about the survey results. I know we had included it in your board packet, but just to kind of walk us through those.
The questions on the surveys are guided by the state of California. There's some very high-end organizations that will take these questions and disaggregate them and give beautiful charts and and things like that. But rather than that, I just took the questions and created our own survey so we could look at them. This year was a little bit more of a struggle than in past years. And usually we get 100% of the staff participate and maybe 20% of the parents, of you know, the families. This year, it was only 15 staff members and only about 10% of the parents. It was really hard this year. So with that in mind, I don't know that this survey data is super reliable, but I think it gives a little bit of a snapshot of what's going on. I think especially the staff data, it's pretty clear that there was just like one person who was having a rough day or was frustrated with me or things like that, because it was disagree. Like every single one was just one person, disagree, 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 disagree. And that happens. But overall, I was pretty happy with the results. Most people felt safe, felt supported, felt like their children were supported. I didn't get results in anything that caused serious concern, like, oh, whoa, I got to track back and see what's going on there. The big thing that stuck out to me is both staff and parents agreed that there's not enough parent participation. So that I think it's very clear that that does need to be one of our goals for next year, is to increase parent participation, not just to pre-pandemic levels, but to exceed pre-pandemic levels. Joseph, if you, Doreen, in the packet, did we actually have the surveys answers? Joseph, would it be possible to please scroll down to those or jump down to them? I don't know how far down they are. I just want to make sure I'm not missing any trends that I need to share that I would.
They're all the way past the LCAP.
The LCAP's not short.
No, and they added additional
every year.
Excel spreadsheet this year that we just passed that gave us additional heartburn. but we got through it.
So this actually, Doreen and I were talking about how when the LCAP first came out in 2014, it was like this supposed to be this living, breathing document that really reflected, you know, what you're doing, and you change it throughout the year, and has morphed into this huge compliance financial document. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the surveys. So you can see what we're going for, what we're hoping for, my goals, is that we'll see the majority of people with a totally agree or agree. And we see that across the board. And this is the parent one. I believe we had 38 participants, something like that, maybe less. And I apologize for not remembering that number. So you could see there are a few parents who might feel a little bit frustrated, might be having a rough week, might have some significant issue with a given teacher. I have not had any parent come to me and say they have concerns about the school as a whole, the pedagogy, the program, anything like that. And again, if you go down to the very bottom, it's the bottom of the screen right now, you can see it's that participation that has the greatest need. 78% of people who took the surveys agree that they attend parent-teacher conferences, but 40%, only 40% say they're actively involved, and even less say they frequently volunteer. So that's our goal, to bring that up. And then for staff, Joseph, if you could go to the staff one. This one, I think, frustrated them a little bit because they felt it was a little redundant, and I had to tell them I'm not making up the questions. My goals for staff is a sense of connectedness and a sense of teamwork and collaboration. And I think this does reflect that we're achieving that. There's definitely some areas that we can improve in, such as having the classified work in collaboration with the certificated staff. That's one area I would love to improve on. Most of our staff feel safe. They feel supported. They know that we're working towards student achievement. They feel students are being treated fairly. So overall, I'm pretty happy with the survey results. But I'm happy to entertain any questions or if you notice any other trends that maybe I didn't.
Do you have some kind of a PTO organization at the schools? I know, Bill, you had one at one point.
We do have a parent advisory committee. This year in particular, it has been a struggle to get any participation.
Is that because of COVID or?
I think so. I mean, but I don't have any data to support that opinion, but that's my gut instinct is that it is because of COVID. In the past, we were able to set up these meetings where we had food and decorations and come on in and we talked about things we could do. And we couldn't do that this year. So we had 4 or 5 meetings this year and we combined it with the English Learner Advisory Committee thinking, you know, hey, one-stop shopping, let's just do one meeting. And every single meeting, we had no English learner parent participation and the same 2 parents of non-English learners, of native speakers participate. So it was hard this year to get parent participation, which I can understand. If you can't come in and touch things and see things in person, that's hard to connect.
Yeah, hopefully it'll get better with that. What about you, Bill?
Well, I had a different survey out there. You know, we got more of a percentage of parents to respond to it, which was good. I do the parent and the student, you know, we did 3rd through 6th grade. I guess maybe I can put that together for when we do our LCAP stuff and things like that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did not do a staff one. They tell me what they think and believe all the time. Trust me.
And yeah, don't get me wrong. The staff absolutely tells me what they're thinking all the time. But as a requirement of the LCAP and to support it a little bit, we wanted to get this data.
And then do you think you had higher participation when it was all remote with parents? Or do you think
I'd have to go back and look. I want to say yes, we did. Because at that point of the year, we had established such routines. You know, I was doing bedtime stories with the principal. You know, and once or twice a week, I'd get on Zoom and read the kid. I'd be in my pajamas and read the kids a story because I thought that was the only way they could connect. And this year has been so hectic that all those online activities didn't continue. So there wasn't the remote connection, but parents couldn't come into the building. So there wasn't the physical connection either.
Yeah, I just wonder, I feel like when I'm talking with people, I feel like so many people are just fatigued.
Yeah.
That they're just fatigued. So I'm just wondering if, you know, coming into, you know, the end of the, I won't say that, knock on wood, as the pandemic follows us, you know, I just think people are just starting to get, they're exhausted.
Exhausted. And I think that's why I've only got 27 staff members and 15 of them did the survey even after repeated, come on, I'll buy you a Starbucks. The whole thing. And I think it was one more thing and they were filled up. They just couldn't do one more thing.
Yeah. Teachers are exhausted. They've worked hard. They really have for these past 2.5 years.
It's been rough.
And they're still doing it. And they go in and they roll up their sleeves. So I'm so proud of them. But I know they're tired. You know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sensing that generally with a lot, you know, everyone that I come into contact with, people are just tired and they just cannot wait for the year to be over or wait for, you know, it to be done. I think that it definitely has taken a toll.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is the mental load on people. You know, it's not like everyone's running physical marathons or things like that, but the mental load at schools this year has just been astronomical. and it has, it's worn people out. And I honestly, I think being a parent this year, it's the same thing. The mental load has been great because, and I'm not just talking Ballington, but the state in general, if not the country, the student social emotional resources have been depleted because of remote learning. And I'm sure parents are dealing with that just as much as the classroom teachers. And it's definitely taxing.
I know a lot of the parents that I work with are so tired because, you know, maybe they have, you know, three kids and they go to different schools and each school has, you know, kind of different policies or on COVID, or maybe they're still hybrid, or, you know, it's a lot to keep track of, even mm-hmm. just for yourself through COVID. And then maybe, you know, one kid, but, you know, when you have multiple moving parts and you're already fatigued from what's been happening, you know, the last couple of years, I can't imagine.
I think the best way to sum it up in 2021, my word of the year was grace. Mm-hmm. And for 2022, I was switching it over to content, but I'm realizing as we're halfway through, it still needs to be grace. Everyone, the kids, the parents, the community members, us, everyone needs some grace and probably a good long nap.
Yes. Yes.
I know. It definitely, there's just this general, that's why I was thinking with your parents, they're probably just, you know, not again. let me just keep what I've got. I cannot participate in your feedback right now on the LCAP. But yeah, I recall years when you did, you'd have poster boards up and mm-hmm. they'd all run in. And honestly, we can't do that anymore, but or this last year, but I remember a lot of participation too.
Next year. We're coming back.
Yes.
I have a question. It's not really about a trend, but the one that says I feel safe at my school and I see 34%. Agree. I'm wondering, Shannon, if you have any notion what makes that agree instead of totally agree. Is that a commentary on the area, you know, in San Bernardino, or is it
without a doubt? Without a doubt. Okay. During was it two or three times this year? We had to go on lockout, not lockdown, but lockout, because there was an altered person mm-hmm. roaming the property, usually somebody that was released from the jail across the street. Mm-hmm. And so we'd have to go on lockout and call the police for help. And
I see. Okay.
It's things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Have a jail across the street?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
We also have the coroner across the other street. So that's awesome.
And I think the fire department and child services as well, right?
Yes. And the Department of Weights and Measures and Agriculture and the registrar's office.
Sounds like a lot of field trips to me.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
No, I mean, man, there you go. Community workers. It's the social studies curriculum.
Yep. Before COVID, we had a fantastic relationship with the administrator of human services and weights and measures. We'd go over there for the trunk or treat. They'd come over and watch the shows. They helped us when, you know, there was smoke in the building a few years ago. It was fantastic. But then COVID hit and it was just gone.
Yeah. We're really rebuilding. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, like a lot has been lost and there's really... You know, and I communicate to my staff all the time that we're recreating the school. We really have to.
Sure are.
We've got to push that stone back up the hill, you know?
I think the other thing that jumps out at me a little bit is the 94% teachers work hard to make sure students do well, you know, in the staff survey. You know, I guess the reason it jumps out at me is that recognition or that acknowledgement, you know, every other one mm-hmm. is, you know, you can kind of expect a sprinkling here or there, but
Almost every teacher I know is, like you guys described, just tired. And I don't know, it's seeing that 94% is, you know, just kind of a, hey, you know, we're here, we're working hard, we're doing this, you know.
And it's a little bit more validating to me because our classified staff took this survey as well. And so I, you know, and our classified staff are working themselves to the bone for sure.
Right.
But that means that they're seeing what the classroom teachers are doing.
Yeah.
And there is a, and you've really developed that culture too, Shannon, of academic, you know, success. So I think that that rings true as well.
I'm hoping.
Yes. Okay. Well, if there are no more questions on the survey, we can go back to the Leyden CDE template and see if there are any questions on the LCAP. Again, we cannot take credit for the authorship of the template at all. This is a standard CDE template, right down to the last pages of the Excel files. So any questions, or if not, then I will entertain an approval for San Bernardino's LCAP for 2022-23.
I'll move to approve San Bernardino's LCAP for 22-23.
See, I have a first. Do I have a second?
Second, Carla.
Carla, I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the roll call vote. Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Passes with 3 roll call votes. Thank you. The next one is our approval of our early literacy grant annual report. And Shannon, I'm going to let you take this one as
well. Okay.
And I never remember the acronym. So I always want to say early literacy San Bernardino, but
it's early literacy support block grant. And actually, I always say early literacy state block grant. So I'm not 100% on either. So this is the grant, if board members, if you recall, back in the 2017-2018 school year is when I think it was that school year, our CASP scores, our state test scores dropped. They were just awful, just terrible. And the state created this grant for early literacy skills and gave it to the lowest 25% in the state, the lowest performing schools in the state. And we fell into that category and it was more than a little shameful. But the silver lining is we got this grant. And with this grant, we were able to bring on our interventionist. Her name is Jackie Pendry. And I really credit our phenomenal academic growth to her. Her ability to manage to analyze data, to use various assessment tools, to stick to a schedule where she was seeing kids and tracking their improvement or tracking their gaps. It really was phenomenal. So we had to turn in several budget updates and reports and things like that throughout the year, but this is a more comprehensive annual report that went through what actions we identified in the original plan and then what actions we're creating for next year. You know, how is that original plan training? During the last school year, the 2021 school year, about half of the staff, plus myself, plus Doreen, went through a great deal of training. And at the end of that training, we created what was called a literacy action plan. So this report reflects our work on that literacy action plan. I'm not going to take you through the whole thing because I like you. So it's that would be a little rough. But Joseph, you'd be so kind as to scroll down a little bit.
And Shannon, this too was a CDE template.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yes. I did not make this up. So you can see there that we have to post this on the website. That's one of the compliance issues. And Joseph, feel free to just scroll on down. Okay. So there, this is for the 2021 school year, we had to identify our practices, our unmet needs, but our LEA, the local education agency, is the same thing as our school. We're our own LEA. So that's why it's identical, you know, two and two. So we had to identify all those things. And that was looking at going back and looking at our work when we created that literacy action plan last year. So that's where we identified these needs, the climate, the social, emotional learning, what below grade level students were going through and things like that. And I'm going to just go through super fast. So if you have questions about anything, please stop me. Go for it, Joseph. Okay, and then again, we had to review previously identified areas of strength and weakness. And in this particular chart, go ahead and scroll on down a little bit more. We had to identify some data. And because of the length of the report, we didn't want to inundate the report with data. So we just put the growth. And this was the 2021 growth, the little charts you see in there. And then the data, you know, on effective practices, we looked at instructor feedback, we looked at observations, we looked at evaluations. And then scroll on down, maybe we could jump down to what we did for the 21-22 school year. Keep going. Okay, so this is the 2021 school year, and you can see that there's some areas. For this template, if we didn't have any identified action in our literacy action plan, we could not mention it on this template. They were very clear. Don't talk about it. If it's not on the literacy action plan, don't talk about it. So that's why you see no action and not applicable. And scroll on down. Keep going. Okay, so this talks about everything we did. And really we had two practices this year. One was the addition of a high quality curriculum. It was Houghton Mifflin's Into Reading and the professional development that went with that, plus hiring of the interventionist. And those two things combined are what led to the resolution of our literacy action plan. And I believe it also led to our academic growth. And I think that's pretty much the whole report. Joseph, if you could see, that's our scores for this year. Look at that first grade, jumped 34 points from fall to spring. That's phenomenal, 34 points. 6 is the expected, 34 points. So, and I realized that was a lot of information. We went through it really fast. But again, board members, does anything stick out that you'd like clarification on, or you want me to go back and revisit? Our literacy action plan was actually pretty tame compared to some of the other schools that were identified, simply because we only had two major actions. We weren't revamping pedagogy. We weren't redoing our entire culture. We were just identifying those two actions.
Well, it looks like you did a great job. So
I'm very, very happy with the growth on our NWEA MAP testing.
Yeah, it really does look great. And that's what counts, right? You know, if you recognize deficiencies and you address it, yes, and improve, that's what it's all about.
And Doreen, is this an information item or is it an action item?
It's an action item.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Well, in that case, I move to approve.
I have a first. Is there a second?
Second.
Christy, I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes.
I have to admit, I am happy that I can put this to bed.
I know. And we just want to put the finance.
Yeah. And just so I don't forget, Joseph, if you could touch base with me tomorrow about getting this onto the website, because this needs to be posted on the website. Because I'm going to forget.
Shannon, is this a continuing grant or was that a one-shot deal?
It's a 3-year grant.
Oh, good, good, good. Wonderful.
So we'll continue next year. We're continuing with further professional development, the continued employment of the interventionist, and then refilling the consumables with that curriculum program.
Right. Wonderful.
And then I think, again, the interventionist has been a really key component to really building up your academics.
Absolutely. Yeah. It wound up that she was, the role has kind of developed over the year, and she has morphed into sort of an interventionist / data analyst / coach for the teachers, because she'll go in and she'll have coaching sessions with the teachers and give them ideas on strategies, and they share their concerns with her probably more openly than they do with me.
And I know we spent a lot of time this time last year, really in the selection of that candidate.
Yes.
Because that candidate was key in really finding the right skill set to be able to bring into your school. I know prior year we tried a coach and it didn't turn out so well.
Not so good.
No. So I'm glad to hear that this one's really working. Yeah. Okay. Well, the next one is approval of our back office contract 2022 to 2023. Board members, I know that this too took up a lot of space in your document and your board packet this last weekend. I know based on a request last year, you had wanted to see all the contracts. So I went ahead, or all the proposals, I should say. So I went ahead and included all of them in your packet this time. So just to give a brief synopsis, last time we met, we had shared that we identified 3 companies. And then in addition to our current one, our CSMC as potential back office providers. At our last board meeting, we had talked about we needed to get some additional information, some additional questions answered. And then we were also reaching out to our parent, quote unquote, parent organization to see if we could go ahead and change our payroll schedule. Ultimately, that still is being processed. They asked me for some followed information. They wanted to see a proposed new payroll schedule that they could review. So that I have sent them to see if, you know, they could entertain the potential of us changing to that. Ultimately, though, I don't believe after this discussion that, you know, albeit payroll was a determining factor initially, but after I think the team spoke through some of the other issues, that was not the only guiding issue that made our recommendation for you. So we said from the get-go, in order to change our financial system and our financial people that do all of our financials for us, that the benefits would have to really be, you know, outweigh the risk. So we kept that in mind as we began our discussion. Carla, thank you. I know we pulled on you a lot over the last month to jump on Zooms, to review work, to look at financials, to ask us for some industry related questions as it relates to fiscal, really to be our knowledge person in that area. So thank you, Shannon and Bill, much also thank you. I know, you know, as of last Friday, we were on the phone at 5:30 having a full on discussion about, you know, coming to terms with what we had in front of us. So I appreciate your time with that as well. I think, and I will let the team members speak as well. I think ultimately, though, we were all kind of at the point of we don't love any one of them. There's pros and cons with every one of them. In switching a financial management system, you've got to really love that person, right? You've got to really love that company to really make that leap. Another really big factor in all of this was the pandemic and where we're at right now. So there was a lot of discussion on, man, do we really want to, as these one-time funding sources are coming through, these tracking of these plans, these tracking of these monies, do we really want to make a change and embark on a company that we have no history with and no, ultimately it would not be any continuity. They'd have to learn us. They'd have to learn how we did things. We'd have to bring them up to speed on where we're at right now. So that was another huge factor in really our recommendation. I would say ultimately not really loving all of the anyone in particular. And because we didn't love them, we didn't want to take the risk in the change. And then timing, just ultimately timing. So we did, we tried to go through a pros and cons. We've tried to get very structured about our selection, and what you have in front of you is some of our pros and cons about the different companies that have set forth ICON. Oh my goodness, really wants the business. I mean, you could tell very, very hungry for business. That kind of made us feel like, is there, you know, because they wanted us so much, was there a tendency to overpromise and underdeliver? When we were able to review their financial management system, they were having a lot of challenges that day, even walking us through the system. For example, the cash flow module wasn't operating. There was minimal security, so Shannon could view Bill's financials and all of his financial information. Bill could view Shannon. So there was definitely some security issues there. And we just felt, you know, that maybe in like 5 years, they might be really strong and really, really solid, but we just didn't want to take, I guess, that learning curve journey with them, for a lack of a better way of saying it. Exit. Good reputation. They're extremely well known, extremely experienced, very large organization. I would say that the downside to that was they've got systems in place and they're not changing them. The very minimal flexibility. I know that some of the representatives were kind of off-putting to some of the team members when we had discussions with them. So there wasn't a really huge connection there. This was the one that told me to tell our authorizer to change their reporting due dates. And I can't do that. You know, they're the authorizer. They're probably not going to accept that. The next piece was DMS. Our biggest concern was that they had an internally developed payroll system. So they didn't use a standard, you know, Paylocity, ADP, Paycom. They developed this payroll on their own. And we were worried about kind of the continuity of that. Ultimately, that brought us back to CSMC, albeit for inaccuracies, the lack of timeliness, the rudeness. We felt that since none of the other ones really could sell us at this point, we felt that it would be better not to make the change based on, you know, timing again, the pandemic, their historical of knowledge. We don't have to, I know a lot of it was, we don't want to have to learn a new system in the midst of everything else. I don't want to come in trying to learn a new system. I know how I can access my financials. I know how to look up my information when I need to look it up. Going into next year, we don't know what to expect. So that was a huge positive with them. They understand us. Ultimately, they are going back and forth with us on their contract, whether or not, you know, obviously they want us to have a 3-year contract. So they've given us a 3-year quote. Then I asked him again for, could you get me a 1-year quote? He came back, could you try a 2-year? So really that's kind of the point of like, how many years is appropriate. I know I've talked a lot. I'm going to be quiet right now. I'm going to let Carla speak and then maybe Shannon and then Bill, if you guys can weigh in on this process as well.
Yeah, Doreen, you're right in everything that you said. And at this point, you know, if we had to change, we'll have to do it in July 1. So we really don't have much time. And we know what we have, even though we're not 100% satisfied with them. So I think when we talk, that's something that we really talked about. Let's just go ahead with them at least 1 year. And then we can talk as a board if we want to have them for longer. Again, with ICON, the first one, I wasn't impressed with the financials at all. Exit, we sort of, you know, took out almost right from the get-go. DMS, one thing I liked about them, we had the whole team there. That would be my choice if we had to pick. But as Doreen said, the payroll system, it was their own system. So that's, you know, a question about that. So for right now, I'm going back to CSMS at this point because we know them and they have worked with us.
Thank you, Carla. Shannon, do you want to weigh in?
I don't think there's anything I can add that you all didn't cover already. After discussion and these meetings, I think that we're all in agreement for all the same reasons.
Yeah, this falls under the category of the devil you do know is better than the devil you don't know, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exactly the impression I was getting, that we're in the frying pan, but we don't want to jump into the fire.
Right. And, you know, for what it's worth, you know, I mean, with all the things we got to deal with, I think sometimes they're still open to, you know, they're responsive when we go to them and say, hey, I need this, I need that. Can you help me with this? You know, I've always been able to squeeze out from them extra stuff. So I appreciate that about them, to be quite honest.
Well, I do also think that there's a certain level of, I don't know if comfort is the right word, but security in the known. So if you know, you know where their weaknesses are, so you know where to look and you know where to double check. And I get that.
Oh, plus, I mean, with the payroll turnaround, they do that and they know how to do that. The other three companies that we were talking to, they couldn't do that. So that's a big, you know, what are we going to do? And Doreen really hasn't gotten an answer from the Volunteer of America office if they can change that. So again, it's a timing issue. We need to make a decision now.
The question on the table is, it is 1 year for 145 or take the bargain price of 138 and hit 145 3 years later? Or savings of $8,000, $9,000 over the 3 years.
Or even now they are offering a 2 year for $142 each year. Right. So there's a 1 year option, a 2 year option, and a 3 year option at this point.
And the question on the table I think we have to look at and ask ourselves is, as we are still in this post quote unquote pandemic world where everything is shifting, how stable is the field of education and CDE going to be within the next 2 years? Do you think next year we're going to all of a sudden, bang, everything's fine, we're back to normal and this, that, and the other thing, and we're moving forward? Or are we still dealing with a lot of different learning loss grants, a lot of different extended day things, a lot of different financial expectations coming from us? You know, I mean, you know, it's still, for me, it's still an unknown. Next year, the year after that, you know, when does the educational climate balance again? That's my question. Food for thought.
And how I feel like we surveyed, the back office committee surveyed a large amount of back office providers. I feel like we went to everyone possible, right? And how many are gonna, I guess, how many more are gonna join the market force, I guess, is also the question that will expand our options as well going forward. So it would just be a matter of, at this point, if board members, if you are in line with our recommendation, and then just determining how many year contracts that we want to go forward with.
Well, if we go with them, do you think we can work a little bit more on, you know, inaccuracies, timeline, rudeness, and stuff like that? I mean, if we give them 3 years, maybe they're going to be more friendly. I don't know.
I think that's a good point, Ms. Carla, because we do have to bridge this somewhere along the line. You know, because if we were to say, all right, we need to have a talk with the people at CSMI and say, there are times where we're a little concerned about, and maybe this would be a perfect time if we say, you know, we're going to go for a 3-year contract, but there are certain issues we have that we need to bring up and point to the nature of the inaccuracies that have been going on and how that's caused the organization's problems and the timeliness of it. And I think the root thing is that's something that's a hot kettle of fish or something, you know?
My opinion, and it's strictly that, an opinion, is that if we sign a 3-year, there's no out to the contract. If we sign a 3-year, there's absolutely no incentive for them to correct any of the deficiencies over the course of the next 3 years.
Oh, right. You're right about that. So
agreed. But if we give them a 2-year and say the third year is contingent upon these issues that we have, that it gives them an opportunity to respond, and via their response or no response is how we then gauge the next choice we make. Correct?
I absolutely agree. I'm leaning more towards the 1 year, but Bill's not wrong with saying, what if at this time next year we're faced with just as many templates and just as many reports and just as many funding sources? It would be very difficult to switch to a new system. So it's, you know, it's that risk of being locked into a contract for more than a year versus, are we going to be in a position next year where we need somebody who knows us?
Right.
And are there any more players, right?
Yeah. Is there anybody else to choose from?
Or has ICON's management system substantially changed, you know?
You don't think things will substantially change? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm just wondering who else will be out there as options, one, or even if, I know maybe ICON, their financial management system, maybe they'll adopt a more professional one. We don't know that, or work on their current one.
Mm-hmm. What are the perfect conditions for changing?
You know, be here for 2 hours.
I don't know. I'm not living.
I mean, it's gonna hurt whenever.
So I don't know.
it's gonna hurt, and there's gonna be a learning curve whenever. I'm not advocating. I agree with the recommendation. I know a lot of work and research and discussion and analysis has gone into that. So I'm not advocating for it, but I'm just saying it's worth the thought exercise of what do we need to do, or what do conditions need to be for us to feel comfortable changing. And if, you know, I don't know if there's ever a year in the life of a charter school that's kind of ho-hum, everything's going, you know, firing on all cylinders. Okay, I think we can make the change now. It's just a thought that I've been having as I've been listening to the discussion.
Well, the thing is, if we just do the 1 year, I mean, I think they'll be hungry to do more years, and then maybe just take 1 year at a time for now. And then that way it's easy, you know, to change to something else, but we still have them in the background. I mean, we already have them. So if we pay $145, I mean, next year we're going to probably, if we just take 1 year at a time, probably pay $148 next year.
I always like that sweet 3-year though, $138, $143, $145. We don't hit their price point that they're offering now. you know, and they do that purposely to kind of like put that carrot in front of us, you know, because you figure 138, that's $7,000 saved that 1 year.
Yeah, but I think I agree with Shannon. What down the line, you know, we not too happy with them.
And right.
Then we stuck.
Mm-hmm. I think we could negotiate? Do you think we could negotiate like, all right, we're looking at a 2 year contract, but can you give us a 1 year contract with an option of two at that price? Is that a negotiating chip? And if we pull out at the end of one, then it's you're back to 145.
I would imagine we'd have to know, or they would have to know, we would have to be able to tell them the conditions on which we would renew.
Timelessness, accuracies, less rudeness.
I mean,
that's the three conditions.
It could be just if we decide one way or the other, but then we're looking at the higher price. If we did have some kind of performance-based condition, maybe it would make them pay more attention and be less rude, be more accurate.
Rudeness, is that just one person? I mean, or is it generally that they were rude, Kareem?
I think it was centered around one person primarily, and I think I've addressed it with that one person. And then I know that there was I'm going to back up, probably two. The one person has been addressed, and the other person I don't think is really interacting with us as much anymore. We've been reassigned another person who has honestly been tremendous.
She's been fantastic.
Tremendous. Yeah. And even the new payroll person has been extremely supportive as well. Not Noelle, but the other one, the one that's most recent. She's been a lot better.
So they're making changes too as they see fit, you know, truth be told. That's what I see happening.
Well, that's a positive.
Yeah. You know. But your choice, 1 year, 2 year. I'm going to step out. I don't vote. I defer.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I am. I defer. I defer to you. It's all your decision, not mine.
Yeah. Dixie, we haven't heard from you. What do you think?
Yeah. I am not afraid of new software, so I go with whatever you guys want. But I would go with the cheapest one and work with it because software is not a break point for me. But I'm not using it, so that's why it's not really, you know, I go with whatever you guys feel more comfortable with. The people that are using it, the users are the issue here. And if you don't have a support person, you know, specifically helping you, then, I mean, really it comes down to, you know, who is using it? Is it Bill is using it, Shannon? And so, yeah, learning new software for people is rough if you don't have a support person, but I mean...
Well, I think right now I understand, like we understand the software better, like I can use it now, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'll give an example today. I had somebody send me or actually call me up saying that bills weren't paid, blah, blah, blah. I went into Charter Vision. I went to the check register. I checked the check register to see if it was, you know, I mean, we can operate this system and that's what I like about it, you know, is I can find it and, you know, God bless Miss Dora. She knows how to wheel around it.
That's a big plus. So doing a 1 year doesn't change anything. If you get new vendors in, a new vendor will the software is it's a learning curve for every single one of them. Doesn't matter how much it is, it's going to be a learning curve because there are people that, I mean, there are people that can use each one of these in respect to their using of it. You know what I mean? Like if they have sold to another school, you could call that school and they could say it's great. You know what I mean? So it all depends on who's using it, what they're using.
Uh-oh.
Some construction going on.
Sorry. That's why I had it on mute most of the time. But, you know, and again, I didn't say anything because I'm like, guys, you know, it's it's really important that you be able to use the software. That is a huge thing. But if there was enough support and training for any of those other ones that you felt comfortable with, and this would be the, you know, the people in the room are usually the people using it. You know, so it's, you guys were in on that conversation and didn't feel comfortable with it. That's a big deal. But, you know, there is a time for everything. And, you know, if it becomes a problem or if it becomes too much of a burden, like you're talking a difference of, you know, $43,000 between ICON and CSMC, you know. There's nothing wrong with new companies. There's really nothing. And companies come and go. Again, it really is perspective. It's who's using it. And again, it's, since it's you guys, then I would defer to you guys on this and go with a 3-year, because 1 year is just, it's not going to change in a year. You're still dealing with a new company. It's what you can feel comfortable doing. You know, Shannon, like if you're like, okay, I feel comfortable this year, I'm going to, you know, and you have to gauge that yourself. And if you're ready to learn something new, then you, the vendors pitch you, and they're all going to pitch fantastic stuff. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready to get into the training and to learn the new stuff. But if you guys are not ready for that, then I really want to support you. And again, a budget thing. I mean, when you're talking about that big of a difference, you know, if it's a crunch of, I mean, is this, if you're hurting in your budget, that might be something you have to do. I mean, but we've already got this planned in at around 140, right?
Right.
Yes. So,
yeah. But so, I'll be quite honest. I agree with you saying, Dixie, and to claim my truth, I don't want to learn anything new. I am full up to here.
Agree.
You know, and I don't have the brain space. Thank God I've got staff members who can jump in and know what the heck they're doing with this technology and everything else. So, you know.
Right. So
when we were in that meeting late Friday, Bill made a fantastic point in that with the amount of reports and funding streams, and accountability that comes with it, we don't really have the flexibility to have a learning curve.
Right.
We can't, because the deadlines are the deadlines, and we just don't have that flexibility.
Oh, no, right. We do the same thing at the college. I mean, there's software that gets brought up all the time. As an educational institution, man, we are just bombarded with new things constantly. So I mean, one of the things that we talk about is consolidating some of this stuff they want, finding, you know, programs where this can function without having to buy a whole new program system, you know. So right. But again, yeah, this is something, you know, we're already able to handle the budget, we're not hurting that. And I mean, if it became a make or break, you gotta, you know, lose an entire teacher because of your back office cost, well then learn a new software program and I'm sorry and I can come help you or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I want to do for you, but
you're hard. I got an office for you right now.
Right. I mean, that's what I signed on for, right? Is I need to help when I can help, right?
And
I need somebody to learn it, to teach you or to remind you, and that's what I can do, then that's what I can do. But I'd rather make sure that that your facility and what you're doing for the kids and the teachers is good, and not have, you know, something like this be a factor. So right. If we're good, then I would feel 3 years is fine. Look at it in 3 years, because that's really a savings, and 1 year is not really gonna, it's really not gonna make that big of a difference. I'd be surprised if it did in 1 year.
Right, good points. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
So, Doreen, your final thoughts.
My goodness. So I would probably feel most comfortable with the 2-year at this point. And the reasoning is I would hopefully it could bridge us through all of these unknowns. And yet it will give us an option to really, I think a year, nothing's going to change, right? I think we're still going to be in the rooted of one-time funding. I don't think the back office climate will change much out there, honestly, this time next year, as far as additional potential places to go. I think the 2 year allows us to get through the all the one time, hopefully the settling a little bit of the pandemic down. I think it also shows, you know, we're not willing to go for 3 years with you, but we'll compromise on your two with you at this point. So that's kind of where I'm falling if I must fall.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fine with me.
I agree. I think that's the best of both worlds, because it does give us two. You know, we'll pick up on the savings you've given us, but we still want you to step up a little bit more, right?
Well, it sounds like 2 years. It is.
Sounds like a good compromise.
Yeah, I kind of took the middle of the road, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, that's smart. I mean, when Shannon was talking, I'm like, definitely 1 year. And then when Dixie was talking, I'm like, definitely 3 years. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm really hopeful that some of these other issues, maybe with some of the other back office providers, given time could be resolved, I'm hopeful too. So that our options become more as well.
Right. Reasonable. So we have to let them down gently and say, you know, we're really impressed with everything, but right now we're going to stay with this and look at you later on, right?
No, I have them emailing me every day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know how that
is. Well, in that case, I make an approval, a back office contract for 22-23 that we pick CSMC for a 2 year contract.
So I have a first. Do I have a second?
I will second that, Dixie.
Dixie, thank you. Okay, I'm going to call. I'm going to ask for any more discussion.
I'm hearing, good.
Okay. Hearing none, I'm going for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries with 3 roll call votes.
Yay!
Yay! Okay. So the next one is approval of El Centro reclassification of English learner students board members. And I will turn it over to you, Bill, very shortly. Board members, every year we come before you and we ask for our English learners to be reclassified into full proficiency status. This year we have 14 of them, which is really hats off to your team, Bill. That's phenomenal. Thank you so much. Bill, do you want to speak a little bit about the process and how you came to those?
Yeah, basically this is over a period of time when the EL student comes into school because they've been classified by having the dominant language at home spoken in Spanish. And that means that they are EL learners, and we provide a pull-out reading program for them so that they can make gains, within their language learning. And, they take the LCAP test, which is speaking, reading, writing. What's the other one, Shannon? There's one more.
Speaking. I think it's speaking,
reading, writing. There's one more.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. So there's a whole broad, and then sometimes it's very interesting because there are certain barriers that, if you're a student with an IEP, but an EL learner, sometimes, because of your IEP, it's difficult to meet certain criteria to pass the LPAC test. And that then ties into teachers giving input and things like this. But basically to have 14 people test out in a year is phenomenal. All right. It's phenomenal, especially I might add, during a point of time when we've had digital instruction, hybrid instruction, and children coming back to learning. So this is phenomenal growth. If any of you want to send Mr. Armando Reyes an email saying kudos to you, I've heard about your success, he'll be walking in with the biggest head in the world. Okay, so I encourage you all to say, Mr. Reyes, we refurbed your children, And I want to thank you for all the hard work you've done, because he really does. He works hard. So,
and I have to say that that test, the LPAC test,
they,
for any student to pass it, English language learner or not, is rough. They have on that test, they have first graders,
right,
reading like 10 paragraphs,
and they can't do it.
I couldn't believe the level of that test.
Yeah. You know, so
again, good job, Elsa.
Yeah. I can't thank him enough. So Armando Reyes, okay? Armando Reyes, which means keys in Spanish, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, Mr. Keys. I can't thank you to him. I mean, honestly, he is, every time I see him, he is so focused. Yep. I mean, I always feel like he's that little professor with all of his stuff walking down the hallway, right? But right. He's driven, he's focused. He is so committed to Bellington. I know Shannon, he even went up to you to help you out.
He sure did.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, because we needed testing done. So tremendous.
He'll do what it takes. But I do want to point out also, I'm sure that this is also a result of our expanded learning program, the K-3, tier 3, 2 and 3 intervention program we had, where we had an ELA after school strand. And also, you know, just the RTI work we've done with pullout programs with tier 3 and EL. So I'm really excited, just as Shannon was talking about her RTI person, because it makes a difference. You know, it really does. So the whole village. We did it.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yes.
Thank you.
Board members, so we just need an approval to move those 14 students into non-English language learners. It comes to you for approval because it also impacts our number of unduplicated count, part of our funding. I think as they spoke on that fiscal training, they talked about we get a certain percentage of funding for English language learners, so that will adjust that funding. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
And they will be replaced. Trust me.
Yes. Yes.
We have more coming.
So if I could have a motion to approve the reclassification of those students.
I'll move to second.
Christy. Okay. I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Dixie?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Next on the agenda is I'm proposing, and when I looked at the calendar today, I'm trying to be super mindful of your time, because I feel like these board meetings, as we're coming up to all of these approvals, are taking a long time for you. I had proposed our next on the agenda is to have Bill's LCAP approved. So it would be all the budget, that whole big document for Bill's school. And we are been a little bit delayed in the completion of that just due to illnesses and many different things. So with that said, I wanted to propose, instead of meeting on June 7, I know I had said June 14, ultimately Bill's budget in LCAP is not due to the school district till June 24. So I wanted to propose actually if our next board meeting could be on June 21st, and that would give us the most amount of time to complete that template, the LCAP and the budget. That was my reasoning behind that. Giving us the most amount of time to get these documents completed.
I mean, we already have a time for the 21st, so.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it's really gonna be that we're just gonna not meet the 7th and then just meet the 21st.
See, I didn't even realize. Thank you, Carla. I was thinking my last board meeting was of June was right with timing when school ended, but we are scheduled for a June 21st one. So rather than meeting, I guess, the 14th and the 21st, we could just meet the 21st, and then we would be bringing before you Bill's budget, Bill's LCAP, and then it's going to be a very business-oriented meeting, I fear. And then the two universal preschool plans, as well as the extended learning plan, that all has to be approved before July 1st.
That sounds good to me, you know, having the next meeting on June 21st.
All right.
I agree.
So
does that work for you, Dixie?
That's fine. You didn't want to have one on the 7th to get some of it done, so you have like two shorter meetings?
Well, Dixie, I got to be honest, it's been a very busy time, and I felt ill last week, and I was not able to, I actually, for the first time in life, had to go home early 2 days in a row. I've had this serious flu that has just wiped me out, and maintaining the school and all the other things that we've been doing, all the plans that Miss Doreen mentioned were the plans that Miss Shannon and I were in fact doing. So this year has been a roller coaster of not just one plan, the ESSER 1, ESSER 2, ESSER 3, the ELO, the ELOP, the LCAP supplemental, and now the LCAP, as well as a budget, a plan, the UTK, the summer, you know, program. We put that together just last month, you know, and everything takes time, budget. And meanwhile, you're all also then having to order things. So ordering curriculum materials for the summer program, which is happening fast, hiring people to get into that. So it's been a very busy time with that. So the added extra time, I'm about maybe three quarters done with the, you know, LCAP plan. And with now we have graduation, kindergarten, we have sixth grade, we have, you know, it's just, I need a few clicks more to be able to really complete this very last thing, you know.
For sure. No, I was more thinking like if there was like stuff that was like ready to go that you could get out of the way. So that way, I don't know.
We could do the universal TK in the summer thing if you want, Doreen. That what do you think, Shannon?
If it would help save you time for the, so that the 21st meeting wouldn't be so heavy.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be great to have such a long meeting and then be able to drop the mic and go boom?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, we did it. I think everyone.
In Bill's defense, we tried to meet this weekend too to get it, and I needed to cancel because of a personal illness in my family as well. So it's just been, yeah, I think we're just honestly trying to gain as much time as we that's possibly fine. Can. No,
that's totally fine.
Thank you, though. So if I could have a motion then just, so it sounds like we're how do I word this?
We're basically removing one meeting.
We're removing the meeting. We're deciding not to meet on June 7th.
We're going to collapse both meetings into one. Right.
We're canceling June 7th, basically. Yeah. We already are at June 21st there. So basically the motion is to cancel the June 7th meeting.
Exactly.
Okay. I move to cancel the June 7th meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Carla, and okay, I have a first, I have a second. Should I just go for the vote? Sure. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Motion carries. We roll call votes.
You almost said it before I said yes.
I know. I was trying to move along, and I'm like, okay. So the last members, thank you for your patience tonight. The last is just an information item. We have to present this to you every single year. It's just basically a report. We will present bills at the 21st meeting. It's just a summary of our local indicators. And I will not take up a lot of your time. We don't have to vote on it. Again, it's just an information item that is almost a companion to the LCAP that provides you with some information on how our school has done throughout this last year. Again, it's a California Department of Education template that we complete. It evaluates us on our academic standards, make sure that we're moving towards, I want to say a journey of full implementation and sustainability for that. San Bernardino scored very high in all of the areas across the board. It looks at the curriculum, it looks at the support for the teachers and administrators, and then it also looks at some of our own local indicators that we've talked about, just rating our capacity of staff, creating welcoming environments, supporting staff again, and then it kind of ends with describing how we'll improve our engagement of families going forward into next year. That was like a very 5,000 foot level summary of that document. Shannon, do you want to weigh in on anything? I know it's your school.
In the vein of complete transparency, this was a self-evaluation. So this was my take on how we're doing on implementing those requirements. I'm sorry, Doreen, I really needed to be upfront about that.
That's okay. No, it is a self-evaluation. Yeah,
it's a self-evaluation, and it mostly surrounds the implementation of standards and expectations.
Information item. Okay, with that said, I think we're at board closing comments if there are no questions on our local indicators report.
I would like to re-invite board members to our spring concert tomorrow, 6 o'clock. You. Lots of art to see, lots of singing to hear. It'll be a good time.
Thank you for the invitation. Does anyone have any other comments? Going once, going twice.
Everyone's like, we're done.
Okay, so the last item is the date and time and location of next meeting. We already established that that's going to be on Zoom June 21st. Yes, at 5:30. And if no one has anything else, I say, Doreen, that we call it at 7:16 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, board members. I know it was a long meeting, and I know the packet itself was a long packet. That was probably more the issue. I was worried it wasn't going to be able to be emailed. And I was like coming up with, okay, I could send it as a link. How am I going to get this to all of you?
You can thank the CDE for that.
I know.
Everybody. You have a good night, right?
Thanks, everyone. Joseph, thank you for your help.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thanks, everyone. Joseph.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Good night. Have a good evening.